Well, welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this High Sabbath Day, the 20th of September, 2025. Welcome to those here in the room, those joining us on the phone, and those listening to the recording. And glad to be in fellowship with you once again. I have one announcement. It's actually a request. Many of you know I'm not getting any younger, as we all are growing older. But the older I get, the less energy, endurance I have. And I've noticed, especially in the past few months, that I end up being more tired than energetic. So this has led me to recognize I need to have some time off to rejuvenate, to rest, to take care of some of the projects here, and to maybe do a little bit of travel. And I am your servant. So I am asking for permission from you all to have about 5 weeks off. We have foot washing and communion this Sabbath today. Next Sabbath we'll have question and answer. And if that goes for another Sabbath past that, then whenever we finish questions and answers, right? I would like to have the next 5 weeks off. So please keep that in your thoughts and prayers. And if that is something that you can agree with, I would be most appreciative. So send me an email letting me know what you and the Lord have decided in this. Again, I am your servant, so I am asking for permission. And thank you so much for letting me know. Our opening song to this High Sabbath service is titled, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Come Thou Font of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore Thee. May I still Thy goodness prove.
Oh, for to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind me closer still to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above.
Amen. To receive the seal of the living God, only because of the mercy and the grace of our Savior. But what a joy and a privilege it is. And we're sealed each day more and more until we are complete in Christ Jesus. The sealing is a settling into the truth to the point you can't be moved. So the more the truth becomes part of your life, part of your character, you are being sealed more and more each day. And what a joy it is to have the truth filling your heart and overflowing in love to others. It is indeed a joy. Well, please join with me for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we meet here in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask for your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, as well as the heavenly angels, to be here with us and with each listening heart. Father, we thank you for the plan of salvation. Dear Savior, we thank you for carrying out your portion of it and ratifying it. Dear Spirit, we thank you for making this plan possible to occur within our lives and indeed be born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit unto life eternal. We thank you, dear Godhead, for being here with us, for gracing our meeting, for blessing our fellowship, for working in our lives, for opening our understanding, as well as our hearts. We ask for your forgiveness of our sins, our shortcomings, our failings, our lack of understanding or slowness to comprehend. And we thank you that the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior provides forgiveness, cleansing, and healing from these. We want to enter into this service fully cleansed, that we might receive a full blessing from our fellowship and partaking in this service today. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Let the internet be strong. Let all distractions and disturbances be kept at bay, that we might indeed have our attention focused upon the one object, that is to follow the example of our Savior and to be ready to meet him when he comes again. Thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer and for blessing our fellowship with your presences. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And before we enter into foot washing, I have a few things to share regarding this particular service. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1252.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1252.htm. And if you look at quote number one, from John 13, we find the events that occurred during the Last Supper experience and what occurred during that time, when it occurred, and what significance it has. And so follow along with me. In John 13, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, not the Lord's supper, but their regular dinner, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. Now notice here, Jesus did this because he was showing his love for his disciples all the way to the end. So what we're reading here was done because Christ loved his own. So he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Continuing. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Remember, the motive of this washing was love. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So all that Christ was doing here, washing the feet of his disciples, telling Peter these things, giving this example, was because he loved his disciples. Seems kind of a strange way to love them, though, doesn't it? But that was the motive behind Christ's actions. So then, what is this purpose for foot washing? Remember, Christ said, Happy are ye if ye do them, if you follow my example, if you wash one another's feet. So then, what is the purpose, the love motive in this foot washing service? And if you look at quote number two, this is from The Desire of Ages, page 646 to 651. This gives us some insight into how love is connected in this service. Solemnly Christ said to Peter, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. The service which Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing. Christ had come to wash the heart from the stain of sin. In refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. So this foot washing is indicative of the washing of the stain of sin from our heart. That is a service of love. So when you're washing another's feet, you're doing so out of love because you want the stain of sin to be washed away from their heart. Continuing, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the Lord. He was really rejecting his Lord. It is not humiliating to the Master to allow him to work for our purification. The truest humility is to receive with thankful heart any provision made in our behalf, and with earnestness do service for Christ. So if you refuse to wash another's feet, you are actually desiring them to be lost because you want the stain of sin to remain in their heart. Quite a different way to look at foot washing, isn't it? If you do wash another's feet, it's because you want them to be saved. You want that stain of sin removed from their heart. Of course, only Christ can do that. But in following Christ's example, in doing service for Christ, it enables him to cleanse the heart. Continuing. Like Peter and his brethren, we too have been washed in the blood of Christ, yet often through contact with evil, the heart's purity is soiled. We must come to Christ for his cleansing grace. Peter shrank from bringing his soiled feet in contact with the hands of his Lord and Master. But how often we bring our sinful, polluted hearts in contact with the heart of Christ? How grievous to him is our evil temper, our vanity, and pride. Yet all our infirmity and defilement we must bring to him. He alone can wash us clean. We are not prepared for communion with him unless cleansed by his efficacy. So that's why foot washing is done first, to prepare us for the communion service next. Continuing. This ordinance is Christ's appointed preparation for the sacramental service. While pride, variance, and strife for supremacy are cherished, the heart cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. We are not prepared to receive the communion of his body and his blood. Therefore, it was that Jesus appointed the memorial of his humiliation to be observed first, or to be first observed out of love. Continuing. As they come to this ordinance, the children of God should bring to remembrance the words of the Lord of life and glory. Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There is in man a disposition to esteem himself more highly than his brother or sister, to work for self, to seek the highest place, and often this results in evil surmisings and bitterness of spirit. The ordinance preceding the Lord's Supper is to clear away these misunderstandings, to bring man out of his selfishness, down from his stilts of self-exaltation, to the humility of heart that will lead him to serve his brother or sister. Following the example of Christ. And then notice, the holy watcher from heaven is present at this season to make it one of soul searching, of conviction of sin, and of the blessed assurance of sins forgiven. Christ in the fullness of his grace is there to change the current of the thoughts that have been running in selfish channels. The Holy Spirit quickens the current, the Holy Spirit quickens the sensibilities of those who follow the example of their Lord. As the Savior's humiliation for us is remembered, thought links with thought. A chain of memories is called up. Memories of God's great goodness and of the favor and tenderness of earthly friends. Blessings forgotten, mercies abused, kindnesses slighted are called to mind. Roots of bitterness that have crowded out the precious plant of love are made manifest. Defects of character, neglect of duties, ingratitude to God, coldness toward our brethren are called to remembrance. Sin is seen in the light in which God views it. Our thoughts are not thoughts of self-complacency, but of severe self-censure and humiliation. So, the purpose of foot washing is so the current of our thoughts can reflect upon our own actions or lack of actions. It's not to focus on what others have done to us. It's to focus on what we have done or neglected to do to others. Continuing. Sin is seen in the light in which God views it. Our thoughts are not thoughts of self-complacency, but of severe self-censure and humiliation. The mind is energized to break down every barrier that has caused alienation. Evil thinking and evil speaking are put away. Sins are confessed. They are forgiven. The subduing grace of Christ comes into the soul, and the love of Christ draws heart together in a blessed unity. So Christ established foot washing and the Lord's Supper to take the place of Passover. So that festival of the Old Covenant was done away with. And a new practice of the new covenant was brought in. And the reason why Christ established foot washing as part of this new covenant ceremony was because he loves you and me. And while we are selfish, while we have sins that we've committed that are not yet acknowledged, repented of, and forgiven, we cannot receive the blessing that God has in store, ready to give us in the next part of this service. So Christ manifested his love in giving us this service of humiliation. Our thoughts should be upon our past actions and not just how we have perhaps sinned against others. But remember, it talks here about blessings from God forgotten about. We didn't remember them. Forgetfulness in this case is a sin. Mercies from God that have been abused. Memories of God's great goodness to us, as well as the favor and tenderness of earthly friends. So this particular foot washing service is not just focused on how we've treated others and ignore how we've treated God, right? It's about both. Have we been ungrateful to God? Have we neglected duties and responsibilities that God has given us? Do we have defects in character? Have we allowed bitterness to crowd out the plant, precious plant, of love? So love here is likened to a plant. A plant grows, but it has to receive the warmth and life-giving light from the sun, as well as the proper amount of moisture and a rich type of soil. So this precious plant of love that Christ has put within us, how are we treating it? If we allow sin to grow in our heart, it chokes out the roots of this precious plant of love. Love for God and love for others. So in examining ourselves, whether we're in the faith, we need to look at how we have treated God since the last time we've had foot washing and communion, and how we've treated others. And we need to plead for God's Spirit to convict us of our sins, so that these can be acknowledged, recognized, acknowledged, confession made, and we can be forgiven by God and by others. And thus, we're prepared for the next part of this service. And one of the biggies is putting away from us evil thinking, evil surmising. Why did someone do this to me? Oh, it's because of this and this and this. Evil thinking and evil speaking. Do you know what so-and-so did to me? Well, it's because of this and this and this. That needs to be put away. And the subduing grace of Christ takes its place in our heart. And the love of Christ, this precious plant, can now have the right warmth, the right sunlight, the sun of righteousness, the right soil type, and the right moisture to thrive and to grow, which will bring us together in a blessed unity. That's what this foot washing service is designed to do for each one of us. And it was given to us because of Christ's love for you and me. That's true. Being forgetful is easy to do, especially as you grow older. But this service is designed to allow us to recognize, to repent, and to be forgiven by God and others, all out of love. So, dear ones, let us take the next 20 minutes for foot washing and then return back here at about 1:20. So we'll see you then, dear ones. Okay. Praise God for his great love, for his convicting and converting spirit, and for planting the plant of love in our hearts that we can nurture, protect, and help to grow. So we now enter into the communion service, dealing with partaking of the bread and the wine, or the unfermented grape juice. And I have just a few things to go over here, dealing with this communion service. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find this on our website at lightministries.com/ID1972.htm. So lightministries.com/ID1972.htm. And if you look at quote number one, we find the example of our Lord on this this Lord's Supper event found in Matthew 26 verse 17 and 26 to 30, which reads, "Now upon the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And as they were finishing eating of the Passover, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of, or my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." And then from Luke 22 verses 17 to 20. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. which is shed for you. Now again, this was done out of love. He loved them unto the end, and then he established foot washing and now the communion service. So we recognize that the bread is not really the literal body of Christ. So then there's symbols brought out in this service. And if you look in at quote number two, so what does the bread symbolize? It symbolizes the body of Christ. It's not the actual body of Christ, it's just a symbol of his body. So when we eat the communion bread that symbolizes the body of Christ, it further represents that Christ, who is the word of truth, is now nourishing your spiritual life. It's working within you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. In Psalms 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. That involves eating. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So the bread is a symbol of the Lord's body, of Jesus himself, that he is good, that he is the word of God. And in partaking of him, in partaking of his word, in eating the bread of life, we're allowing Jesus to then nourish us, to build up our spiritual life, to strengthen us in the ways of God. And that is indeed a joy, rejoicing, and a delight to do. So that's what the bread symbolizes. Now, if you look in quote number three, what does the unfermented grape juice or the fruit of the vine symbolize? And this symbolizes the shed blood of Christ that he gave there at the cross. So again, it's not that the grape juice is the actual blood of Christ. It's just a symbol. So then by us drinking this fruit of the vine, this grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Christ, it further represents that we have been washed clean from all our sins, both outwardly and inwardly. We're told in 1 John 1, verses 5 to 9. This then is the message which we have received of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here we see that the bread and the grape juice are symbols representing the body and the blood of Christ that further represents us being nourished in our spiritual life by the word of God and having our sins confessed, forgiven, they can be cleansed, and we can be righteous. So here's the symbols. So then the question comes up, why should we partake of this service? If you look at quote number four, in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 6, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So these verses reveal to us that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do so in remembrance of the great sacrifice that Jesus made out of love for you and me and for all other of God's followers. So this shows us that we should be happy when we partake of the bread and the grape juice. We, in fact, should be joyous because of all that the Lord has done and is doing for you and me, and especially because of his promise that he's soon to come back and take us home to be with him forevermore. And when we are home with Jesus in the kingdom of heaven, then he will again be able to partake of the fruit of the vine, and this time back in company with all of his redeemed and ransomed followers. So that should make us happy as well. So as we now get ready to partake of the bread first, let's remember that this is all done out of love for you and me by the Lord. And we now partake in this service out of love for the Lord, for all that he has done for us and for his soon return, which will be a very happy occasion. So I'll give you a few moments to pass out the bread. But please do not eat it. We'll have a prayer first. And so I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. All right, let us bow our heads. Precious Father, thank you so very much for allowing us to come together once again and to have another High Sabbath Fellowship. Thank you, Savior, for making all of this possible and for giving us the example, manifesting your love for us in this communion service. And thank you for allowing us to manifest our love for you in return. Please bless our gathering and help our thoughts to be focused upon thee and your soon return, which will indeed make us happy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 11, when he had given thanks, Christ broke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And please go ahead and eat the bread. Okay, and let's take a couple minutes to pass out the grape juice, and please do not drink it yet. We need to have prayer first. So we'll meet back here in a couple minutes. All right, let us bow our heads. Precious Father, again, we thank you so very much for making possible our salvation. Thank you, dear Savior, for dying on the cross and spilling your blood so that we might have a way to have our sins forgiven and to be cleansed from them and to be ready for your soon return. Thank you for your great sacrifice, for your life, and for making it possible for us to be redeemed and saved from eternal death. What a savior you are. And thank you for coming soon to take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And dear ones, go ahead and drink the grape juice. And amen. Praise the Lord. He's coming again. And after they had partaken of the Lord's Supper, in Matthew 26, verse 30, it says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So Christ ended the service with a hymn. And so that's what we're going to do here. Our closing hymn is titled, Christ the Lord Has Risen for Us. Christ the Lord has risen for us, alleluia. All creation joins the chorus, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing, O heavens and earth reply, alleluia.
Let's again our glorious King, alleluia.
Love's redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle's won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise, Alleluia.
So we now where Christ hath led, Alleluia. Following our exalted head, Alleluia. Made like him we rise, Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies, Alleluia.
Amen, and thank you, dear Savior, for giving your life and not remaining in the grave, but rising and ascending on high to show us that life beyond the grave is possible through you, and that you will not leave us or forsake us, but continue to walk with us each step of the way until we're with you forevermore. What a mighty, exalted head and leader you are of your people. May we continue to look upward to you, beholding your loving image, your righteous character, your amazing life, and being transformed into an exact replica. And thank you, dear Spirit, for making it possible to live a new life in Christ. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, we again praise your holy name for developing this marvelous plan of redemption. Again, dear Savior, we praise your name and thank you for ratifying this covenant, for carrying it out, and for giving us the proper example to follow, to imitate, in order to be with you in heaven. And dear Spirit, we again praise your name and thank you for granting us the divine power, the grace, the encouragement, as well as the reproving and correcting, so that we might indeed be growing in grace, growing in knowledge, and growing more and more in likeness to our Savior, until we have reach the point of being perfect in him, and then we're ready for his coming to be part of the marriage supper. Is a marvelous thing. So unworthy are we. But we thank you for providing the call, the invitation, the way to get there, as well as the wedding garment to wear. Thank you, Savior, for making it all possible. And thank you for allowing us to become part of your bride or part of the guests at the wedding. But in either case, thank you for making us possible for us to be with you forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, and thank you for coming soon. Amen. Amen. What a Savior. Dear ones, are there any testimonies, any comments, any insights or questions, anything that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
Yes, Bob, I'm curious where you came up with this, calling this a high Sabbath. Is this of your own invention?
Sorry, what was the last part?
Is this your own invention?
Well, no. I think it's John talks about it being a high Sabbath in which the communion service occurred there, Passover. And when you look at the differences between what was a regular Sabbath, not talking about a feast day Sabbath, but what was a regular Sabbath versus a high Sabbath, the difference appears to be that on a high Sabbath, it coincided with a feast Sabbath and a seventh day Sabbath occurring at the same time.
Right.
A feast Sabbath could occur anytime. Mm-hmm. Any day of the week, right? But a seventh-day Sabbath can only occur on the seventh day. So then when we celebrate communion, since it occurred on a high Sabbath back when Christ instituted it, we just refer to this being a high Sabbath when we have foot washing and communion.
Okay.
So it is a special Sabbath, so we, or I, and others refer to it as a high Sabbath.
Okay, John 19:31. The Jews, therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, therefore they besought Pilate that their bodies might be their legs might be broken and they might be taken down. Okay, I understand.
Oh, praise the Lord. Any other insights or answers to our dear brother's question that others may have, please feel free.
This question might be extraneous, if that's a good word. Does your mom not live with you anymore?
No, mom is here. She's just on a different computer.
Because her signal is broke up over here, something fierce.
Yeah, when her old laptop went out, we got her a new laptop, but the mic on the new laptop is a bit more sensitive.
Oh.
So when she's singing, she's looking up to read the lyrics. And that puts her voice a little higher than where the mic is, and so it doesn't pick it up.
Oh my, wow.
So she's constantly having to lower her head in order for the mic to pick it up, but then it's hard for her to read, so it's kind of a balancing act back and forth.
The camera must be at the bottom of her screen. Mine's at the top.
Yeah, it would seem that the mic would be right where the camera is, which is up at the top. So I guess when she looks down to read, it cuts her voice out. And when she looks up, it gets it. So there's got to be a way to make the mic less sensitive to where it's more of an all-around gathering of noise instead of just focused.
Right.
But I have not yet done that. So her connection is good. It's just her voice cuts out when she's not looking directly at the mic or singing towards it.
Okay.
Sorry about that, dear brother. Sometimes my voice cuts out because it just does. It's old.
Oh, yeah, I can understand that. Because you're up on the mic and everything. I was asked to sing a song this morning in Spanish for the Spanish Sabbath School, which the tunes came to me, but I can't come up with the English version. Can you help me?
Can't hear your whistle, brother.
Can't. Now, what's happened to my mic? Oh.
You're looking down. Maybe your mic's not picking it up.
No, my computer says I'm getting hungry and you're not feeding me. Let's see if you can hear this whistle.
No, I can see that you're whistling, but I can't hear it.
Let's try this. Da, 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 da. Ah, da 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 da. That's the best I can do. If that don't work, I'll have to drive over there and show you.
That sounded good. But I can't think of any words that go with that tune. But I have a request. Oh. Can you sing that song that you sang last night?
Well, let me get it out of the box here. Which one, the morning, the evening, or the foreign jungle version?
Do the jungle version.
Yeah. Do the jungle version.
Brother Dick, if you come, I'll make a very big feast for you.
Oh, my.
So when will we expect you?
Yeah, right. I'll let you know when I leave.
Okay.
When I tread the jungle, when I tread the jungle trails and my muscles ache and groan, I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You brought me here to help the hurting and to lead the children home. I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, Lord, I love you. I just wanted you to know. Here's my heart, my life, my will, myself, I give it all to you. Take my life and use it, guide my feet along the way. May your words my mind renew, your spirit fill me each day. As I share the gospel message, dry the children's tears away. I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Though I work in toil and hunger, I will follow you today. I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, Lord, I love you. I just wanted you to know. Here's my heart, my life, my will, myself, I give it all to you. Take my life and use it. Guide my feet along the way. May your works my mind renew. Your spirit fill me today. Amen.
And I love that song.
Amen. Amen.
Well, since you sang the jungle version, now you have to sing the regular version.
Oh, okay. This one's when I wake up in the morning, and the other one is when I lay down at night. Yeah, I lay down each evening. When I wake up in the morning and I lift up my head, I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When I roll right out of bed and my feet hit the floor, I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, Lord, I love you. I just wanted you to know. Here's my heart, my life, my will, myself, I give it all to you. Take my life and use it. Guide my feet along the way. May your words my mind renew, your spirit fill me each day. When I see the morning sunlight and I breathe in fresh air, I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When I spend time in God's Word, talk to Jesus in prayer, I sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, Lord, I love you. I just wanted you to know. Here's my heart, my life, my will, myself, I give it all to you. Take my life and use it. Guide my feet along the way. May your words my mind renew. Your spirit fill me today.
Amen. And that's been recorded.
Oh, my. You got the cough and everything. Hope you can edit that out.
No, that's a great song, and you sing it great. Praise the Lord.
My throat is giving me problems, and I happen to keep clearing it, and that messes up a recording.
Well, that can be edited out.
Oh,
thank
good,
you, dear
good.
Brother. Thank you so much.
But if we edit it out, then he's got to sing it again when his voice is better.
No, I can edit out just his coughing, not all of his singing.
Oh, I get it.
Well, dear ones, any other thoughts or comments, testimonies, questions, anything else you'd like to share, please feel free.
I praise the Lord for our family here at Let There Be Light. And brothers and sisters, we can fellowship once a week together. And during the week, we can think on those things that we have heard this Sabbath day, and praise God for the Sabbath day and for all of you. I love you all. Big hugs.
Amen. I second that giving of thanks. I too praise the Lord for all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Me three. Well, dear ones, next Sabbath we'll have question and answer. So if something comes to mind during this next week, please write it down and share it. Brother Dick had a request last night that we look up the difference between precepts and judgments and statutes and commandments and see if they all mean the same thing or if they're different from each other. So that's going to be one of the questions that we'll be bringing up next Sabbath. But also remember to make your decision on the six different books that were suggested to be in the adult the youth and adult Sabbath school time. And the six books were early writings or thoughts on the Mount of Blessings or darkness before dawn or Adventist home or Maranatha or last day events. And again, my email address is ltblmin@outlook.com. And please also let me know in email if I have your permission to have some time off. Thank you for doing so. And dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a very blessed new week. Continue rejoicing in the Lord. Continue growing in grace. Continue nourishing the plant of love in your heart. And keep looking up.
Just a second here. I'm trying to find my emoticon. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.